this podcast from Adelaide Place Baptist Church. We are a community of disciples, apprentices of Jesus, who live and work in the city of Glasgow, and it's our vision to join God in the renewal of all things. Our discipleship to Jesus is for all of our lives, so as well as listening to this podcast, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning or get involved in one of our missional communities, which are across the city throughout the week. Our prayer is that you encounter Jesus in some way through this podcast. More information can be found at apbc.net.
Morning. Great to see you. Some people back from holiday, some people visiting. My name's David, just in case I've not met you. I'm part of the staff team here, particularly looking after our missional communities, which are communities that we have across the city, meet at different points, and really want to get to know each other better, get to know God better as we seek to share the good news of Jesus with the people around us. And I had the privilege, genuinely privilege, of growing up in church, but that meant going to lots of church meetings when I was growing up, a real delight, or sometimes maybe not. But let me tell you a little bit about my experience of church meetings. Some of them were places where not everyone could speak, either because of their gender or because of their age, or just because we all know these people who are a little bit awkward, and you kind of look around the room. Anyone got any questions? Anyone? Nope. Anyone at all? And they don't get a chance to share their opinion. But I was remembering about 3 years ago now, when Bea, my wife, and I moved through to Glasgow at our first church meeting here at Adelaide Place. And both of us, I still remember it, driving home in the car, were remarking on how that was really easy. That was a really nice meeting. People had a chance to share what they thought. They had a chance to speak, and they were listened to and heard. Now, don't get me wrong, we're not perfect. We still disagree on what the colour of the taps are going to be when we refurbish the building. But that would be a bit boring if we didn't, wouldn't it? But the point is, there is a culture here of listening to each other and of genuinely trying to seek what the heart of God is, even in things like taps or what colour the walls are going to be. And at the moment, over the last few months, I've been working with a few other people on a kind of missional community handbook, or if you like, or a process of how we might start missional communities. If you have an idea, how we can see that through to become a reality. And the whole heart behind that is that we want to be a people who listen well to each other, to not just come up with ideas on our own in isolation, but to be people who seek the heart of God as a community, and to have a really helpful, hopefully, process behind that of how we can do that better. The last couple of weeks, as Fiona mentioned, we've been thinking about, beginning to think again about our cultures. This vision zine here that we made a couple of years ago. And there are six cultures. And Sam introduced us to discipleship, the theme of discipleship last week, how discipleship is the engine for everything that we do. And how we, as we seek to follow Jesus, that can be the reality. And then John, a couple of weeks ago, thinking about the culture of mission, that it is God's mission. It's a really big mission. And also he invites us into it to be part of it in our everyday life. Throughout both these cultures, I think, it's helpful at this point, hopefully, to pause and to remind ourselves within all that who we're listening to, as John did when we started off, that it is God's mission. And it is him that we want to listen to, continue listening to, and listen to more intently and more deliberately and with each other. So would you come with me to look at a story that Jesus told in Mark chapter 4? And just as we come, be willing to hear what God says. It's words you might have heard before, but we believe that in this church that God speaks to us today, and that this is his word, the Bible. So let me pray for us as we come to read it. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this book, for the Bible. Thank you that just as when these words were first spoken, when they were first written down, that Holy Spirit, you were there, and that you are here with us now. And so we ask that through these words and as we think about how we might listen to you better and why we might do that, that you would be speaking to each one of us, reminding us of your gentle whisper, of you as the voice of truth and wisdom and love. Amen. Amen. So Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin at verse 1. It should be on the screen behind me as well if you'd like to read it there. It says this, "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears, let him hear.'" And we just jump down to verse 13, where Jesus explains to his disciples what was going on here. "Don't you understand this parable?" he said. "How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And still others, like seeds among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." I wonder how you listen, or who you listen to. Jesus says here, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." He's speaking plainly and clearly. There's so much in this passage. We could probably do a whole series just on these few verses, different responses to the seed, the word of God that is sown, the good news of Jesus that is told. And I don't know about you, but I often thought growing up in church that this was mainly a story about people who haven't heard the gospel or maybe hearing the good news of Jesus for the first time. And there definitely is that in it, I think. But what I often missed was the truth that there is for our own lives, even as people who've maybe been following Jesus for a little while, of how there are so many voices and worries and stresses in this world that can choke the good things that God wants to speak over each one of us. See, in this little bit about the seed that is sown amongst thorns, which then choke the plant, which stop it from bearing fruit, there's so much about survival in there, isn't there? There's no fruit, there's no flourishing. It's just about getting by. Sunlight is blocked. There's not room to grow and thrive. If ever there is an example of this book, the Bible, being relevant for us today, certainly for me, that's one clear example. Who do you listen to? There's lots of voices around us, aren't there? It's a noisy world we live in. Social media, the radio, TV, advertising all over the place, even friends, family, people we trust, colleagues, all vying for our attention or our money or our time. Jesus tells us of some of these voices that can often sneak up on us: worries, deceitfulness of wealth, desires for other things. The things, the thorns and weeds which can crowd out the voice of God, the sunlight nourishing our souls, allowing us to thrive and be the people we were created to be. Our stress about material things, and even good things sometimes, things which we might concern ourselves with, can get in the way, can crowd out the voice of Jesus, the voice of truth and wisdom and love. I often find myself, when someone asks how I am, saying, without really realizing, "Oh, I'm quite busy," as if it's some kind of badge of honor or you're meant to be impressed by that. It's really not. And often our busyness can crowd out the voice of Jesus. Is our spending our time doing lots of things, listening to other voices, prioritizing things, we maybe don't even realize how we got to prioritize them? Is that constant chatter drowning out the voice of Jesus? And I wonder if a big part of it is this: do we hear the voice of Jesus first, before anything else? Is that who we're tuning into? And then filter every other voice that is going on around us through that. Jesus, the voice of truth. And do we know what the voice of Jesus sounds like? There's a window upstairs in one of the offices which overlooks the nursery garden. There's a nursery just below us, if you didn't know that. There's no kids there just now. But our son Noah goes to this nursery a few days a week, and when the kids are all out in the garden, it's a sunny day, and the window's wide open, you can imagine there's a whole range of noises and excitement going on outside. But I can always tell, without looking, if it's Noah who's crying, even if there's 10 kids crying, because, I don't know, they just put the slide away or something terrible like that. I know that it's Noah without looking. I know the voice, the sound of my own child. And do we know, as Jesus says, his voice? In John 10, he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Another translation says it like this: "My sheep recognize my voice." Which are the loudest voices in your life, I wonder, this morning? The ones which you recognize instantly. The ones which are comforting, even. There's a guy called Brian Saunders who leads a movement called the Underground Network, and he tweeted this week: "We live in a time when everyone is finding their voice. This is a very good thing. But if, in the opening of that great gift, we drown out the sound of God's voice in our lives, we lose too much and fail the highest purpose of communication, to find truth and connection with each other." You see, we were created for relationship, not a directive controlling one-way thing, but a two-way connection with the living God, who we can hear the voice of every day. And each one of us is different. We look different, we've got different characteristics, we dress differently, we have different opinions about things, and I think we also hear from God differently, each one of us. For my dad, for example, he loves to get out in the wild, particularly up mountains, walking for hours and hours each day. He really connects with God in that place. For my mum, on the other hand, that idea is closer to somewhere where God is definitely not. But she loves to be beside the sea, particularly in Ely, or to walk along a beach somewhere in a distinctly flatter walk, and she connects with God in that space. So no matter how long or how short you feel you've been following Jesus, there is always more to hear from him, always something new to learn, always a retuning into his voice and what he's speaking, not for us to strive for or to feel like we have to do something else in an already busy day, but just to acknowledge the presence of God, which is closer than our own breath, to slow down enough to recognize what God is doing amongst us and around about us in this world, to not allow those weeds and thorns that we read of to sneak up on us, which they can often do, and crowd out the voice of Jesus. There are loads of really helpful resources and books and podcasts about how you can hear from God and how you can know that you're hearing from God. I'm not about to give you a 10-minute crash course on how to do that. That's for another time. But there are three things which I think it might be helpful for us to recognize or re-recognize, if you like, this morning, together as a church family and as individuals. So firstly, recognize that fact I've just been talking about, that God made us for relationship, that we are made in his image, which is an image of relationship. We believe God is three in one. And also to recognize that this is a two-way relationship. Throughout the Bible, we read of God talking with people, the very first people he created. He walked with them around the garden, Adam and Eve. He was talking with them. Wouldn't it be interesting to hear what they were talking about? And Abraham, Moses, Elijah, loads of other people in the Bible, they are not just listening to what God says, but they're talking with him. They're asking him things. They're even downright disagreeing with him at points. But there's a recognition of his voice, a knowledge of knowing what it means to be in constant communication with God, who makes himself available to us. So recognize that we are made for relationship, for this hearing the voice of God. And recognize the gift of each other. It's easy to become isolated and closed in and not recognize some of these weeds and thorns and distractions in our own lives. We have the gift of each other, this church family, our missional communities, friends who know Jesus and love to pray for us. May we continue to listen to one another, to strive to do that better, to give a voice to those who we might overlook sometimes, to invite people to ask difficult questions, to invite people to contend with us, I often find that the people I really want to hear advice from about the big things of life are not the people who respond immediately, just off the top of their head, but the people who say, I'm going to go away and pray about that and really, really think and try to hear the voice of God and his wisdom and then come back to me. Would we be a people who would contend, stand with each other in crying out to God, listening for his voice, recognizing we hear from him differently and sharing that with one another? Ask someone, what's God been saying to you? What have you been listening to? Not just the noise of the world around you, but listening to from God. What's he been sharing? What have you noticed about what he's doing in this world? And then lastly, I think we might recognize the opportunity to hear God's voice every day, all around us, in everything. God's not in a hurry. He speaks in a still, small voice, often rather or instead of in the noise or the spectacular or the big event, whatever it is. And he promises, an incredible promise, that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. What a promise. The God of the universe will draw near to us. He wants to encounter you and me today and every day. So on your journey to work, or when you're going to the gym or washing the dishes, or maybe even in the bath, I don't know, or dealing with a really tired child and you're just at the end of your patience, where might you recognize God in the midst of that, the beauty of his creation? Many of you will know Pete Gregg, who has written a whole bunch of really useful and quite honest things on prayer, and particularly on listening prayer. And he, his wife became very ill a number of years ago and left him basically as a single parent for a time. She's much better now, thankfully. But he writes of a story that when he, soon after he became the sole carer for two children, he says, "When on one occasion I took baby Daniel, who was just a few months old, asleep in his carry cot, into the prayer room in the middle of the night." This is the guy who founded the kind of 24/7 prayer movement. "Just as I was settling down to spend time with the Lord, he woke up and began screaming in need of a change. After an initial burst of frustration, I resolved to turn the process of changing and feeding him into an act of prayer, viewing the whole exercise not as a distraction from prayer and meditation, but as an expression of it." And he goes on to describe this really fascinating way that he turned every act of a very seemingly ungodly task of changing a nappy into recognizing God in the midst of that, of remembering something of God's character. How might you acknowledge the presence of God in your everyday life, not allowing those weeds and thorns to choke and crowd out the voice of God, speaking in a gentle whisper? What could it look like if we switched off from the noise, just even for a time each day, to look up, to look around us, even just to recognize that God is sustaining us, allowing us to graciously to breathe, to function, to feel things going on round about us? God doesn't give up. He created everything. He's speaking through everything. In the book of Ephesians, we read of how we, the church, share one Father, one Lord, who is in all and through all, and is speaking in everything around us as well. God is speaking everywhere. Do we tune into his voice, or do we allow these worries to choke out, to crowd out, to block the sunlight of his love and his truth? Our culture of listening in this church family reads like this: we believe God wants to encounter people and speak through his word and his spirit. Through prayer and prophetic passion, we want to hear God's voice for our lives, our city, and our world. Let me pray for us this morning. Let's pray. Proverbs 3 reads this: trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Lord, may that be true for our lives this day, throughout this week. Would you continually nudge us and bring us back to that position of listening for you in everything we do, recognizing your presence. And would you allow us, grant us the grace to do one thing at a time without rushing or hurrying? Would we listen for your voice everywhere we go, amidst the noise and stress of this world? Would we listen for your voice? Holy Spirit, would you help us to simply pause as we move from one thing to the next? And would you, Lord, in your grace and your kindness and in your power, remove the weeds and the thorns from our lives, which can so often feel like they are holding us back, choking the life out of us. Give us wisdom in situations which need wisdom. Give us perseverance when things are just really hard. But would you also gently remove those things which keep us from hearing the one voice we need to hear? And would you, Lord, help us start with a deeper conviction that we need to hear your voice? Thank you for your gentle, patient, never giving up whisper, which speaks truth to us. Amen.